This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. This school year has brought many firsts to the Marshall and Albion districts. Albion closed its high school after last school year and sent students to attend high school in the Marshall district. Bridge Magazine, the online news service of the Center for Michigan, has examined how that merger has worked out and what it could mean for other districts in the state. Their four-part series is called 13 Miles to Marshall. Senior writer Ron French reported on the series for Bridge. Thank you for being with us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Tell us, first of all, why did you and Bridge Magazine think that it was worth taking a look at what's happened in Albion and Marshall?
There are a lot of school districts across the state that are struggling financially, and several of them have been shut down by the state, and those kids have been shipped off to surrounding districts. There are other districts that are looking at ways to collaborate with surrounding districts, everything from combining some services to actually combining schools. We're going to see this sort of thing more and more often. We wanted to look at how this collaboration had actually worked out between Albion and Marshall, because if it were going to work in a place like Albion and Marshall, where one school is pretty high poverty and majority minority, and the other district is almost completely white and middle class, if that merger can work, then maybe that can be a model for other collaborations around the state.
And let's back up a little bit and explain how these two districts got to the point that they considered this merger, because, of course, we know Albion's lost a lot of students, so they had to close their high school, but Marshall also had to consider this for financial reasons, correct?
Correct. That's the surprising thing that people don't realize, that Marshall was having financial trouble, too. They have this beautiful, sparkling high school. They've just spent another $21 million renovating and adding an auditorium, but yet they were facing an over $1 million deficit, and they were trying to figure out how they're going to cut that money. Albion, next door to them, over half of the students who would normally go to Albion schools were leaving the school district each year by school of choice. And they're taking that $7,000 per student with them. They were just starving financially. You know, they were on the verge of closing down completely. So you had two districts that were very different in a lot of ways, but both of them were looking at, you know, how to survive financially. And by doing this, it really helped both. And here's how that happened. High schools are much more expensive to run than elementary schools. So by Albion shutting down their high school, they were able to save a ton of money. Now, Marshall had a high school, had room in the high school for more students. They could absorb the 150 to 170 students that were going to come from Albion. By only adding a few more teachers, they had plenty of parking space, plenty of lockers, plenty of room in the cafeteria, not a problem at all. And then they got that $7,000 per student for all those high school students that are coming from Albion. And overnight, their deficit disappeared.
How much does this thing called schools of choice work into the problems that Albion and Marshall had financially?
It was a huge factor for Albion. We could debate till midnight about the pluses and minuses of schools of choice. It's nice as a parent to be able to look around and say, I want my kid to go over to this school district or over to this elementary school. I get that completely. But the impact of that sometimes is, for every school that gains students, there's another school that loses students. And Albion was a student loser. What we found is that a lot of students, particularly, unfortunately, a lot of the white students who lived in Albion and a lot of the higher income students who lived in Albion were choosing to go to other districts. And what happens, Gordon, is districts sometimes reach a tipping point where you run out of money to be able to support the programs that you'd like to do, and so you have to start cutting here, cutting there. And the more you cut programs, the more students leave. By the last year of the high school, the Albion High School had a total of 3 extracurricular clubs and 8 sports. And you look at something like Marshall, which was also losing a little money by school of choice, but not nearly as much. They have 30 clubs and more than 24 sports.
So in one of your stories, you say that the merger has exceeded expectations of most students, parents, and school officials interviewed. What exactly did you hear from them about what they expected and what has been the actual result?
There was a lot of fear, as you would expect, and a lot of anxiety about what would happen. First, in Albion, you had the whole sense of loss, because in a small town, if you've got a high school, you've got a basketball game and a football game to go to on Friday nights. That's sort of the focal point of your community. You are the Wildcats. You have families whose parents and grandparents all went to that same school. There's a sense of community that's built into high school. So Albion was losing that and feeling like they were not really a community anymore in some ways. But both communities beyond that had concerns about what was going to happen when you put these two student populations together, because they were very different. You had Marshall is a very middle-class school with high test scores. You had Albion, that is a struggling financially district. 100% of the students who were attending Albion were on free and reduced lunch. Over half of them were minority, and their test scores were below the state average. So from Albion's point of view, parents were concerned about, you know, my child, and this isn't everyone, Gordon, obviously, but some of the opinions that were voiced last spring when this was being debated, some of the parents in Albion were saying, you know, my child has never attended a majority white school. I don't know how she's going to be accepted there. You had parents in Marshall saying things like, well, what is going to happen to our test scores? And is there going to be enough security at the school? These are all concerns. They all deal a lot with class and with race. You know, it's a generational thing where a lot of people were concerned about, you know, what it was going to mean when you put these students together.
I want to go back to what you mentioned there about the community of kind of rallying around their school for sports and other things. And I'm wondering if that is one of the things that may prevent this from happening in other districts. You know, the empty high school in Albion is one thing, but the unused football field, is that something that other districts are going to look at and say, boy, if we consolidated with another district or if we merged high schools the way they did in Albion and Marshall, one of those communities loses that identity, and that's not something that they're going to be willing to give up easily.
You know, that's a very good point. Albion and Marshall, for decades, were huge, bitter rivals. They were in the same sports conference. They played each other every year. They played each other in basketball up through last year. And so you do have that loss. And there's a lot of sense of community involved in that. But I can tell you that just 7 months into this, you find that you have a lot of Albion parents making the drive over to Marshall to basketball games. I was at a basketball game there just a few weeks ago, and you saw a lot of people there from both communities. There are five basketball players on the Marshall basketball team that were on the Albion basketball team last year. So it's something that I think once these sort of things happen for 2, 3, 4 years, Marshall becomes the high school for both communities. And there will be less of a sense in Albion that I don't have a team to root for, but they'll just be rooting for the team that their kids go to.
The Albion students have to spend a long time on buses going back and forth from Albion to Marshall. And there can be some very long days for those students, especially if they're involved in sports or other activities. And also, quoting from one of these articles that you wrote, they studied more than ever for worse grades than ever. So why is it that students and parents from Albion that you talk to seem to be accepting of this change?
Well, the bus rides are tough. A lot of the kids I spoke to were getting up at 5:30 or 5:40 in the morning to get ready for school. They're on the bus by 6:30. They're at Marshall by 7. And if they're in activities after school, you know, like they're in the play, the musical that they're putting on right now, or they're on a sports team, they could be there until 7, 8 o'clock at night. And because of the shuttle back and forth, they have shuttles that are going back and forth between the communities several times a day, which is very nice. But you get on the shuttle, ride half an hour home, eat dinner, and ride all the way back for football practice? Generally not. They hang out at school. So a lot of times you have kids who are at the school for 12 hours a day. Makes for an awfully long day. And for the students from Albion, who didn't have quite the academic background that some of the students from Marshall had, and are going into a completely new environment, and all of them are struggling, but on average, the Albion students at the moment are struggling more than the Marshall students academically. But what you're finding, and this is something that I think is very encouraging to both the communities and for other communities that might consider this, these kids You know, they are so resilient. They are doing whatever it takes to try to succeed. When they see the expectations that are being placed on them in class in Marshall, they are doing whatever they can to try to meet them. And sometimes the grades aren't what they were making at Albion, but they're trying their darndest. And I was talking to one student who was looking at a printout that was taped to the wall at Marshall High School, looking at who had made the honor roll. And he was talking about how he'd made honors, but he had just fallen just short of making high honors, and how, what he was going to do the next semester to try to get up to high honors. And, you know, the kids are kids. You know, if you put them together and you tell them the expectations, they're going to do what they can to try to meet those expectations. And I find that very encouraging.
We should also put that academic part of this into context here, because some people may hear that and say, well, it sounds like the Albion schools were not very good. What's the great loss of their high school closing? But your article puts into context some of the differences here and how those normally translate to education. Can you kind of fill us in on that background?
Sure. That's a very good point, Gordon. To just a frustrating degree, academic success tracks with your income. You will find that it's not Michigan, that's just not Marshall and Albion, that's all across the United States. Generally speaking, the higher the income of your family, the better you do in school. The wealthier families have more resources, they have more ability for you to do extracurricular academics after school, for enriching programs during the summer. Many times those families have parents who had been to college before, and so there's an expectation that their kids are going to go to college, and so they put those expectations on their kids. So you had a situation where a high-poverty school like Albion, kids were making decent grades in schools, you know, A's and B's, but if you look at their standardized test scores, they were much lower than Marshall's, and that's to be expected. But I can tell you, Gordon, that when you take poverty into account, the Albion schools and the Albion students were doing relatively well. It's just that you have to take poverty into account. When you look at the raw test scores, they weren't as good. And so now you're putting these kids, these high-poverty kids, in this middle-class school. And the question is, what happens to them then? Does that make a difference? And there are a lot of studies out there that show that low-income children who are in middle-class or high-income schools actually do better. Because of their peers. As I said, the different expectations. So that's the hope here.
Ryan, you also talked to some people from the state who are watching this closely and are encouraging consolidation where they see opportunities. Do you get the sense that what has happened in Albion and Marshall is going to lead the state to perhaps try to provide greater incentives or lean on some districts to consider consolidation or a merger of high schools, that sort of thing?
I don't know about lean on districts, but I know that the Michigan Department of Education works daily with districts that are struggling financially. There are around four dozen school districts in the state that are working in deficit, just like Albion is. And some of them have a lot much larger deficit than Albion had when Albion merged their high school. They're trying to find ways to make things work so the schools don't close down completely, as a couple of districts did last year. So there's a whole spectrum, as the Department of Education described to me, from sharing bookkeepers to can we share some other types of services? Can we privatize the bus service? What can we do to save money without reducing the academics that are available to the kids? But, you know, one of the larger options, obviously, is doing the sort of merger we have here. Albion still exists as a district. It's just a K-8 district now. Can you combine high schools? And by combining high schools, you have economics of scale where you can have more sports, have more extracurriculars, things like that. Once you have a model that works, then the state can point to it to other districts and say, see, it works. There is no model now. Marshall and Albion, if it continues to be as successful as it is now, will be that model.
And are there lessons from that model of Marshall and Albion about how to do a merger? Are there things that they did correctly leading up to September of 2013 that made this go as smoothly as it has to date?
That's a very good point, Gordon. You can't just throw the kids in a room and say, okay, now we're together, let's learn math. Albion and Marshall went to great lengths to try to make this work. They, last summer, brought students from both schools together at Albion College for a full weekend where they did all sorts of bonding exercises, and they got to know each other. They intentionally paired an Albion student with a Marshall student in college dorm rooms for the weekend, so they'd get to know each other, and they'd walk together to the cafeteria and to these activities. So you'd immediately have one friend at least you knew at the other school. You know, there were a lot of sessions they had this September where they're working with students and a lot of group activities. So you have to go about this proactively. You can't just say we're putting kids together and we're saving some money. It is a process, and you got to expect there's going to be times where students are not going to get along, just like at any other high school. But it can work. You just have to actually take steps to make it work.
Did you get the sense, talking to both parents and students, that this has been able to work now, but if we were to go back a generation and have the parents involved in this merger of high schools, that it might not have worked out as well? Because I keep reading again and again in your stories where the students say, hey, it's okay, but recognizing that their parents had a lot of reservations and still have a lot of questions about this.
I think it's a very good point. I believe we're at a time where our kids don't see color, or they don't see it in the same way we do. I grew up in a completely Caucasian community, rural white, and these students, even if they're in a majority white community, their media, whether it be television or YouTube or movies or Facebook, you know, they see people with different skin in everything, and they're all treated the same. And so they don't pick up on the idea that African Americans and whites are supposed to be different in some way. I think this is very inspiring, and I think what we're seeing here working out in Marshall and Albion is what the next generation is going to be like for us here in America.
Ron French, as always, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Ron French is a senior writer for Bridge Magazine. His four-part series on the Albion-Marshall merger is called 13 Miles to Marshall.